A corporate CEO was removed from his leadership position for being pro-life. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs a new election bill into law, and the Democrats are crying Jim Crow. Plus, Jen Psaki and Joe Biden continue to ignore the problems in Afghanistan. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the increasing pressure that the woke radical left is exerting both on corporate America and on individuals who espouse conservative beliefs. If you're a conservative in 2021 in America, you're a target. Based on what we see on a daily basis on social media platforms such as YouTube and Twitter, you can pretty much promote any left-wing policy or concept and everything is fine. If you're a corporate leader and you post some left-wing talking point or cheer some leftist protest or riot, you're likely in a safe space. But what happens if you're a conservative and you're in corporate leadership? What do you do then? Do the same rules apply? Can you express a personal opinion and still do your job? Apparently not. It turns out that in America, there is one standard for the radical left and another standard for conservatives. And here's the story. The head of a video game studio stepped down Monday evening after speaking out in support of the Texas Heartbeat Act on Saturday. John Gibson left his position as chief executive of Tripwire Interactive following a Saturday tweet in which he voiced his approval of the Texas Heartbeat Act, a law banning abortions after the unborn baby's heartbeat can be detected. The law was passed in May, and the Supreme Court allowed it to go into effect last week. That's right. John Gibson, the CEO of Tripwire Interactive, was pressured into resigning by the left-wing mob because he expressed pro-life views. He didn't riot, he didn't loot, he didn't assault anyone, he didn't topple a statue, he didn't do anything except put out one tweet. And here it is. Proud of the U.S. Supreme Court affirming the Texas law banning abortions for babies with a heartbeat. As an entertainer, I don't get political often. Yet, with so many vocal peers on the other side of this issue, I felt it was important to go on the record as a pro-life game developer. That's what did it. Apparently, that action, expressing those views, is so vile, hurtful, intolerant, and evil that he needed to lose his job because of it. Here's more. Tripwire issued a statement Monday apologizing for Gibson's comments and expressing a commitment to take swift action. The comments given by John Gibson are of his own opinion and do not reflect those of Tripwire Interactive as a company, the statement said. His comments disregarded the values of our whole team, our partners, and much of our broader community. Swift action. Yep, if you're a member of the woke radical left, then Gibson's tweet is just unacceptable. Swift action is needed. So the company announced that the VP and co-founder, Alan Wilson, will be taking over for Gibson. The pro-life tweet also drew outrage from several other video game companies because apparently almost every company is run by leftists these days and companies can't just make a product or provide a service. They need to have a political agenda as well, agendas that are sanctioned by the radical left. Shipwright Studios issued a statement announcing they would no longer work with Tripwire if Gibson remained chief executive. We cannot, in good conscience, continue to work with Tripwire under the current leadership structure, the studio said. Tripwire collaborator Torn Banner Studios tweeted a similar statement condemning Gibson's comments, while Corey Barlog, director of video game God of War, asked Gibson how he could support this effed up Texas bounty law that pushes us closer to some kind of dystopian religious state. Why can't video game companies just make video games? Instead, you have to have a left-wing agenda, or else you can't say a word. If you do, the left comes out in force. As an example, I scanned Gibson's Twitter feed. Most of his tweets get 20 likes or so. Many tweets get fewer than that. In June of last year, Gibson tweeted out a pro-Black Lives Matter statement from his company. It received 2 comments. Now, he tweets out a pro-life personal statement, and it receives close to 14,000 comments, and it cost him his job. This is not how things should be in America. Over the last 5 years or so, we've seen people fired, fined, thrown in jail for holding Christian conservative beliefs. Is this America or communist China? So, what can be done about this left-wing mob that destroys everyone who stands in the way? Let me know in the comments. All right, so next, let's talk about the new Texas election law. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. So Texas Governor Greg Abbott finally was able to sign the new election integrity bill into law following delays after Texas Democrats fled the state. Remember when they took a jet to Washington, D.C. and spread COVID to other Democrats? Well, that mess was all cleared up and the bill has now been signed into law. Now, the Democrats are already preparing lawsuits and claiming that the new election integrity law is the return of Jim Crow. And here's the story. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the sweeping changes during a ceremony in the East Texas city of Tyler, where the surrounding county went for former President Donald Trump by a more than 2-to-1 margin last year. Texas is among at least 18 states that have enacted new voting laws since the 2020 election, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. The laws are part of a national GOP campaign, including in Florida, Georgia, and Arizona, to tighten voting laws in the name of security. Texas is cleaning up the voting process, making it more secure, and in the meantime, left-wing groups are already filing legal challenges. The story points out that the ACLU, minority rights groups, and disability advocates are part of a coalition filing lawsuits which accuse the new law of violating federal Voting Rights Act and intentionally discriminating against minorities. So, what does the law actually do? Here's some details. Some changes squarely take aim at the Houston area, where President Joe Biden carried the surrounding county of 1.6 million voters by a 13-point margin. Amid the COVID pandemic last year, Harris County elections officials offered 24-hour polling places and drive-through voting, which are now outlawed under the new law. The county also tried sending mail-in ballot applications to more than 2 million registered voters, but going forward in Texas, any elections official who tries sending an application to someone who doesn't request one could face criminal charges. Partisan poll watchers are now also entitled to more movement, and election judges who obstruct them could also face criminal penalties. In addition, there are new voter ID requirements when voting by mail. A person needs to put their Texas driver's license number or the last 4 digits of their social security number on the ballot and on the envelope. Voter rolls will also undergo periodic checks to make sure non-citizens are not on the list. Yep, this is what the Democrats are calling the new Jim Crow. Making elections more secure is not racist, folks. There are plenty of opportunities, locations, and methods to vote, even after this law. Anyone who can legally vote can still do so, but no one needs 24-hour drive-through voting so you can cast a ballot at 2 a.m. What do you think of the new law? I'm very interested to see if you think it's draconian, fair, if it helps security, or if it's the return to Jim Crow. Let me know in the comments. All right, so next, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and Joe Biden are doing their best to push the Taliban issue from the news cycle by basically ignoring the situation, while Americans remain trapped by the Taliban in Afghanistan. If you recall from Monday's show, Representative Michael McCaul pointed out that the Taliban is flat out holding Americans hostage to force the Biden administration to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government in the country. Here's McCaul.
Since we left the country on Friday, how many Americans have gotten out of Afghanistan since we pulled out? How many Afghan allies have gotten out since the Taliban was in complete control of the country?
I understand. Zero. And in fact, we have 6 airplanes at Mazar Sharif Airport, 6 airplanes with American citizens on them as I speak, also with these interpreters, and the Taliban is holding them hostage for demands right now. The state has cleared these flights, and the Taliban will not let them leave the airport.
Now, in response to this pressure being exerted by the Taliban and the fact that Americans are being held in Afghanistan, Biden and Psaki refuse to take action to get them out. They are in no hurry to recognize the Taliban and they are also in no hurry to get out our American citizens and get them back home.
Recognize the Taliban?
No, that's a long way off.
There's no rush to recognition. It is really going to be dependent on what steps the Taliban takes. I don't have a timeline for you. It depends on what behavior they exhibit on the ground.
Well, I can tell you what behavior the Taliban are exerting on the ground. It's not rocket science. They are going door to door and they are killing people. They are holding Americans as leverage. On the Biden side, the administration is letting the Taliban call the shots. Americans are being deserted by their own country's leadership. And Biden says, nope, dealing with the Taliban is on down the road. Nigel Farage, who's a former Brexit Party leader in the UK, he was on Fox News blasting the Biden administration for the situation in Afghanistan and the appearance that Biden may eventually give in to the Taliban's demands.
Four Gitmo detainees released in the Bo Bergdahl swap end up getting high-ranking positions in the new Afghan government. I mean, you're looking at these faces on the screen now, and I just question, do you think ultimately the U.S. and other countries, for that matter, end up recognizing the Taliban? And if so, what does that mean for international relations?
Well, I noticed that when the White House were questioned about this, they didn't give an answer. You know, will you recognize the Taliban? And extraordinarily, Boris Johnson on this side of the pond said that he thought this was a different Taliban to the one from the 1990s, almost as if he was saying it's a new woke Taliban.
A new woke Taliban. As that clip showed, full-on terrorists are now in leadership positions of the Taliban organization. These people are holding Americans and making demands. Biden should not recognize them. He should not negotiate with them. He should demand that all Americans be released immediately. Instead, he's trying to let the situation fade away while Democrats like Chuck Schumer make statements like this.
We've heard a lot of the pullout of Afghanistan would have gone somewhat poorly no matter who did it, but it's on Joe Biden's watch as president. How will what happened affect Democrats' chances moving into the midterms?
You know, I can't predict that. I will say there'll be a job for congressional oversight. There always is. But at the moment, actually, I'm still focused on trying to get some of those brave Afghans out. The Americans, all of whom wanted to come out, have come out. Praise God.
Oh, my gosh. Schumer is flat out lying. Americans who want to get out are trying to get out, and they can't. How dare he say that no Americans are left behind? He knows that isn't true. But he, along with Biden and Psaki, just want this situation to go away. In the meantime, Americans are trapped, and the terrorism situation around the world is now worse.
The fact that the Taliban can say, hey, we've just beaten America, you know, America have gone tail between their legs, the fact that they're saying that already, I think, gives great comfort to terrorist organizations all over the world. There is no good going to come out of this. I think that the Western world may well pay a price through terrorist reprisals for many, many years to come as a direct result of this very, very badly executed decision.
So there you have it. What do you think? Will Joe Biden negotiate with the Taliban? Will he recognize these terrorists as an actual government? Let me know in the comments. All right, so next, CNN is taking heat for a recent story in which they claim that the so-called scourge of whiteness will not disappear as America becomes more diverse. Over the weekend, CNN published an analysis piece titled White Supremacy with a Tan. Yes, that's the title, and here's the promotional tweet. Analysis. The assumption that more racial diversity equals more racial equality is a dangerous myth, John Blake writes. It doesn't really matter how diverse and inclusive America becomes, the woke radical left will always try to divide the country based on race. And here's the story. In the article, CNN Enterprise writer John Blake argued that whiteness was elastic and that as the population became more diverse, as seen in the 2020 U.S. Census report, white supremacy would adapt because being white could expand to incorporate new members if they have the right look. Don't ever underestimate white supremacy's ability to adapt. The assumption that more racial diversity equals more racial equality is a dangerous myth. Racial diversity can function as a cloaking device, concealing the most powerful forms of white supremacy while giving the appearance of racial progress, Blake wrote. A cloaking device? This is what passes for news these days at CNN. The author goes on to say that in the future, we don't need to just be on the lookout for white supremacy. We also need to be on the lookout for tan supremacy. Racism will likely be just as entrenched in a browner America as it is now. It will still be white supremacy with a tan, Blake added. Blake predicted that Latinos could be the future of whiteness, claiming that some had already begun to mark white on their census forms and that the temptation to identify as white could be too tempting for many to ignore. What trash! Fortunately, the article was blasted on social media for being both racist and pointless. It's like the left is covering its bases and expanding to more and more groups that it can call racist in order to advance their agenda, which turns out is actually not tolerant and not inclusive. So, there you have it. Watch out for tan supremacy. All right, friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Friday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.